Welcome to part two of our conversation with Francis and Doug Weber. Being investigators and living in a seemingly haunted house, I'm sure you've done a little research or looked into or wondered about the history of where you reside. What have you done there?
We've tried to find some, you know, history on this house, but we can't find anything out of the ordinary. Just, you know, we know that we've lived here, 7 years now? And I found the names of former residents, but that's it. Mm-hmm. As far as here, I haven't been able to find anything. Yeah. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I figure if something tragic or crazy would have happened, there would have been some sort of record about it. But, you know, sure. All we've been able to come up with is names of former tenants.
Yeah.
Interesting. It makes you wonder a bit. I mean, do you think it is the house that's haunted, or do you think it's your family essentially as a group that it kind of just draws these sort of things in? No matter where you may be, these things would be happening.
And I've always had that same question. You know, it's our older son, you know, when he was little, before I ever even looked into this kind of stuff. You know, one time I was at Walmart, I'm standing there and he just runs up to me and he's like, "I don't like that lady over there." And I'm like, "What lady?" You know, he's like, "Over there on the bench." And then and there was nobody there. And he's like, "There was this lady sitting there in this all white dress and she had bright red lipstick and she just kept smiling at me." And I'm like, "What?" You know, and this was way before, this was in Tucson.
Sure.
So it's like so many little things that I'm really looking back now and going, wow, because I've been asked that before. I'm like, is it us? You know, is it about our family that is attracting this? And I've asked my mom, and she has never heard of anybody, you know, and my side of the family experiencing anything like this. So I don't know why, but I do know it, especially around my daughter and I, it's very constant.
Sure. The original house, the house that we talked about first, did you guys ever do any investigating on the history of that location?
The only thing we were able to find out is that it was, in fact, abandoned for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. I found the name of the person who had owned it before it was abandoned, but it was like 18 years before that. So that's all we could find on there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this gigantic gap with no residents and no information, no anything. So who knows what happened in that house when it was abandoned.
And this was in a good neighborhood.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
this was a good neighborhood. Well, the thing about where we live up here in Northeast Ohio is for some reason, abandoned houses are common.
Yeah, really?
It's strange. Even in the burbs, so to speak, that are a little bit more safe to live in. If you catch my drift, if for some reason it's common out here. I don't know why.
Cause I was going to say that makes it all the more odd being in a nicer neighborhood, having a house that's abandoned.
Yeah,
you know, because it like that would normally, you know, somebody would get that, flip that, do whatever, you know, and it sat like that. How bizarre. Yeah. Then who knows what may have gone on in those years while it was abandoned. Makes you wonder why it was abandoned in the first place, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many questions. So as you guys, you know, obviously we've been talking about your experience personally in your homes. How did you guys start to get into the idea, into the world of, well, we got enough crazy things going on with us. Let's see what other people have going on.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
how did that begin?
What kind of catapulted us into the world of paranormal investigation was we are extremely lucky to live less than 2 hours away from Ohio State Reformatory, which is one of the most iconic locations in the paranormal field in the country. Not only that, but I'm sure you're aware the movie The Shawshank Redemption was filmed there as well, at least a gigantic portion of it. And so it's a huge tourist attraction. And so living so close to it, you know, once we had moved into the new house, you know, I got a better job. So we got some more money. We got some more time. And so we decided to go take a day tour there, you know, we got a babysitter where our oldest son watched our daughter, and just the two of us went for the day. And we saw or heard, I can't remember exactly how we found out, that they do overnight paranormal investigations, you know, and right there, we're like, but we have got to try that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way we're not going to do that,
sure.
You know, especially after everything we had experienced. So we went out, went to Walmart, got us a couple of really standard digital recorders meant for college students. And we bought a spirit box on Amazon and signed up to do the overnight investigation. And the rest is history, man. We were hooked, been hooked ever since.
So what occurred to you on that first trip where you went out and let's see how this works. Let's see what happens. What were some of those moments? Obviously, the atmosphere itself, it can be very alluring, and even if nothing happens. But did you have experiences that continued to spark this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are you mean as far as when we were at the location?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We didn't even have a video camera. Some of the video footage we have is just on our cell phones. But, you know, that is an extremely, extremely active location. Yeah. You know, we've been to other locations where it wasn't as active. But this place was off the charts, man. We were doing a public investigation. There was like they let 100 people in there. So there was 98 other people roaming around that prison. So it's almost impossible to get EVPs in that setting because there's absolutely no quiet whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But the second you turn the spirit box on, it was our first experience with it ever. And we were getting responses to our questions, loud voices that were pertinent to where we were, not only being in a prison, but where we were in the prison. We were in the hospital, the first hospital on the topmost floor. And I asked if, are you a religious person? Did you say your prayers before you died? And not a second later, yes. Wow. Right there. When you get those voices and you're new to this thing and you get those voices, it changes your world, man. It's crazy.
Sure. So this is obviously a very, you know, compelling and interesting thing. You get those answers. When you started then going out and doing more investigating, what's been your guys' goal personally for doing all this? Obviously, it's interesting and exciting, but is it to help people with their situations? Is it just to go out and get information and document these things? What is it for you guys?
Yeah, for us, it's not only is it the thrill because it's so much fun, and the history and the traveling, which is also both amazing. It's just being able to prove what we experienced personally. I don't know if that makes sense. Sure. We experienced this 100% in our personal life. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting to go out and get on film, on recorder, proof that what we experienced is real.
What have been some of the most compelling things you guys have experienced over the years when out investigating? Your top three.
Penn. We actually investigated Pennhurst Asylum, and we did that completely because now we investigate completely alone. Mm-hmm. Years ago, we learned just go by yourself, But we actually investigated Pennhurst. And we were completely alone in there, and we captured some of the most incredible EVPs. You know, it's the feeling, just the pure feeling when you walk into a location like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I can't even put into words.
It's hard to think of specific bits of evidence. Yeah. I don't know if this is a family show, if I'm allowed to use coarse language.
Anything you want. Yeah. No restrictions.
Okay. Yeah. We were investigating Old Licking County Jail, mm-hmm. Which of course is a county here, and it's in central Ohio. They have a new prison or whatever, but this is an abandoned one that they used to use in the early 1900s. But it's open for investigations because of course it's extremely haunted. But we were in the basement chapel area, and we had done some spirit box, gotten a few answers. We were having fun, and the battery on the camera died, and so we left the recorder going, but we're changing the camera on the battery, and we didn't know it at the time, but we're reviewing our evidence later at home, and I get an EVP right there. We're just chit chatting with each other, and it said it faster. I'm going to say it slower so you can understand it, but it said, "I shouldn't have had that sentence because I had a fucking gun." Yep. But it said it really fast. "I shouldn't have had that sentence because I had a fucking gun."
Wow.
That was probably one of my favorite EVPs we've ever captured. Yeah. It was crystal clear, and there was vocal tone to it.
Yeah.
But it's incredible. That right there is my favorite EVP.
And as soon as we turned the spirit box on, a voice actually yelled out, "Eat shit!" Right through the spirit box.
Yeah. Frances, she continued her spirit box session after we changed the battery, and she said, "Oh, do you like that we're here talking to you? Eat shit."
It was so clear. Wow.
Well, I see not much changes in death at the...
And probably one of our most incredible things is it's something that we've talked about. We've never released it, but we actually have captured at Hillview Manor. We captured an apparition. And we didn't know it until we were reviewing, because we're reviewing, we're watching our footage, and all of a sudden I can see arms moving. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm like, look. And we try to zoom in. Our quality is not that great on the footage, so we're waiting until we can get something to maybe clean up the footage. Mm-hmm. But we caught a man who is standing at the end of the hallway. He has a bald head, and you can see him going up and down and moving his arms at us. And you can see his head just going in and out of the light. Or he was underneath an infrared light, because we investigate in pure darkness. Okay. We don't use any lights except for infrared.
Yeah.
So you can just see him moving. And I just remember like my stomach just dropping to the floor when I saw that. But that was probably one of the biggest things that ever.
Yeah.
And how interesting. And it was something you didn't realize while you were going through that.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, exactly. That actually happened to be the first time we had ever done an investigation with a video camera. Uh-huh. We'd never had one before. Mm-hmm. And so that was actually our second investigation, our second one ever. So we've invested in an infrared video camera. We didn't know anything about lighting and how, you know, the one little infrared dot on your camera is not going to light up the whole hallway like you see on the TV shows. Mm-hmm. So that's why the quality was so low. Mm-hmm. But we were able to see him because he was standing underneath one of their infrared security cameras. So even though you're in pitch black, I'm sure you know this, even though you're in pitch black, the infrared lights, if there is ever one pointed at your camera, it looks like a bright light. Mm-hmm. So he was underneath their infrared security light, waving his arms around at us. It was awesome.
It was crazy. Wow. And then as I, because I was filming Doug, so I'm just moving the camera back and forth. And so I'm following Doug into the room, and you can see as I'm moving the camera, he's there waving his arms. And then all of a sudden you just see this giant, like, it looks like an anomaly. So we don't know if it was him or what, but right after you see it shoot right past us.
Wow.
It is crazy. It's a crazy crate. We've never shown anybody. We still keep it safely tucked away right now. But
On our TikTok, actually, there is a still shot.
We zoomed on his face.
A still shot of his face. But the video quality is too poor. We really want to later, once we can get some new software to try to clean up the video, we'll release that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. Have you ever been on an investigation where you felt like, you know, this is a little much? Like, I think I don't want to risk taking something from this, can of Doritos home with me, because it's just, this is too dark or anything like that.
Yeah, we've only ever left one location, and that was because of me. We were at a Prospect Place Mansion, and we'd been there like four times before, and I don't know why. We believe somebody had investigated in there before us, and I don't know, maybe upset the energy in there or something, but we're investigating, and I go into the girl's room, and I'm just asking questions like I always did, because it was one of our favorite locations. And all I know is I started getting the most aggressive male voices coming through. And I don't know what happened. It was just all of a sudden I couldn't be in the room anymore. I started walking around the mansion. I was telling Doug, I was like, you know that feeling like when you're standing in a dark room and it feels like something darker all of a sudden stood over you and it's just like hovering over you? I told him, I feel like something's just like standing over me, like angry. And like, I was trying to film.
Just pulsating negative energy.
Yeah, I was like filming him in a room after that, and I kept backing into the corner, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I want to get away from it. I don't know what it is. And I was like trying to get into the corner of the room to film him. And I was just like, I just kept saying, it wants us to go. And I was like that for like another half an hour. It was like I don't know what it was. I could just tell something was doing everything it could to push us out, and we ended up leaving. And that was the only time ever. We've been back there many times since, mm-hmm. but I just remember it affected me so much. Like the like three or four investigations after that, I would like scream for no reason. I was like panicky. It was weird. Mm-hmm. It was something. I don't know what they did or who brought what there, but it was very angry when we were there that night.
When you have something like that, that's very encouraging of you to get out. And it doesn't want you there.
Yeah.
Is there a risk involved if you don't comply? If you just go, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to be doing my thing. And, you know, is it more of a scare tactic from the other side to because they don't want you there and all, you know, all bark but no bite? Or could you really be going into some dangerous territory if you defy it?
Yeah, I truly believe that that there is a risk factor involved because you get, you know, EVP saying get out or spirit box saying go home or get out of here mm-hmm. and stuff like
We've
that.
Been cussed out
yeah, all kinds of stuff. You get that stuff often. Well, we do anyways yeah. when we're investigating. We get told to leave often, and a lot of the times you can tell it's different when like what Francis was describing, how it's hovering over her, sending negative energy at her. That I think that's a little different than the little voices you get sometimes where you can just say, oh, do you want me to get out? It's no, I need to get out of here right now.
It was all feeling. It was all like after the room, I didn't even investigate after that. I was just constantly filming him because he found me in the corner holding the camera. He's like, why are you in the corner? I'm like, I don't know. Something's just not right. And it was like, so the best way I could describe it is some giant man standing over me, like staring down at me. That's mm-hmm. the only way I could describe it, but all like heavy and dark. And I told him, I was like, I cannot explain it. All I know is my heart was just pounding the whole time. And I was like, something's just telling me I need to get out. And I was like, I'm going to listen to it because I mean, he was watching, my hands were shaking. It was strange. I've never before and never after have experienced that. And we've been all kinds of crazy locations and we'd been there before. So I don't know what it was, but I listened to it and I was out, you know.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Francis and Doug Weber. Thank you guys for listening, supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We cannot do this without you. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.